the Jew has to fight against the rest of the Jews. A lot of times the Jews are always fighting against the rest of the world. If we know what's right and what's wrong, so we're not allowed to give in just because the majority of the people are doing wrong. That's the simple meaning of the pasuk. Let's see, Acheram le'ros, Acheram le'hatas. That's in the same pasuk in Mishpatim. You're not allowed to follow the majority when you know that they're doing wrong. The Gemara has a whole additional level of interpretation on the pasuk. Let's see, Acheram le'ros, that a simple majority is not sufficient to administer din in the fashas. That if you have a bezin of 23 and you have a split vote, and it's 12 to 11, and 12 say Chayiv Nisan, 11 say Pater. So a simple majority is not sufficient to give the death penalty. You have to have a majority of two, which you can't have. If it's an odd number bezin, you can't have a majority of two, so you have to have a majority of three. So you have to have a 13 to 10. 12 to 11 is not enough, but that's an additional level of interpretation. But the Pashup Shat and the Pasuk L'Siach Ram L'Ras means you're not allowed to follow the majority if you know that they're wrong. And just because everybody's doing one way, it doesn't mean that a person is not allowed to raise a question, maybe they're doing wrong. You shouldn't necessarily assume that they're doing right. The Gemara in the first Perek in Chulin tells that after many years of being mafrish, Trumas and Maisris, in Beit Shan, Rabbi Yudah Nasi gave a psak that is chutzlars, that it wasn't this Kaddish with Dushas or at certain areas in Beit Shan, and it's not Chayim and Maisris. So the Gemara says when a Talmid Chacham gives a startling psak and it's against what was practiced for many generations, a maznichan also, you shouldn't reject it offhand. You have to consider the possibility that maybe he's right. You have to have courage. Rabbi Yudah Nasi had courage to issue a psak against what was accepted, and his psak was accepted. Rabbi Yudah Nasi's psak was accepted. So that's the lesson of Parshas Noach. The Torah tells us about Tzchar V'Yoinesh, that the Tzaddikim will be rewarded and the Yerushalayim will be punished. That's the whole theme of the Mabul. Noach was commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring into the Teva kosher and non-kosher animals. He was commanded to bring in Shiva, seven pairs of the kosher animals. Either that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that after the Mabul is over you should bring Korbanos, or he understood on his own. And he was told, Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah, in the first Perek points out, he was told he should bring in Mikol HaChai Mikol Basor. So the Gemara understands that to mean Mikol HaChai Mikol Basar Shechayin Rosh Eivarim Shalom. If a non-Jew brings a carbon, Avodah Zarah, that's a violation of what in the Sheva Mitzvah's been in that. He's not permitted to worship Avodah Zarah. If a non-Jew wants to bring a carbon in the Beis HaMikdosh, we wouldn't permit him to bring a Balmum. That's a pasuk in the middle of Vayikra. Miyad Benechel HaSakriyu Esei LaLashem. Even if a non-Jew brings a carbon to the Beis HaMikdosh, he may not allow the carbon if it has a mum. That's the story in the Gemara Gittin, Bakamsa, that the Kesah sent the carbon and the character made a mum on it and they didn't want to be makrev it, even though the carbon was offered by a non-Jew, but it's based on Mikdash. You cannot accept the balmum. But if a non-Jew wants to bring a carbon on his own, Mizbeach LaShamayim, so then the Gemara has a din. He's not permitted to be makrev a mechuser eiru. We have such a din mechuser eiru by oifos, because the Gemara points out, based on the pesukim in Chumash Vayikra, Tamas v'zachos b'behemins v'in Tamas v'zachos b'oifos, by korbanos, certain korbanos have to be davke zocher, certain korbanos have to be davke in a keva, chatos has to be davke in a keva, and oila has to be davke zocher, shlomin can be a zocher or a keva. So by behemins we distinguish between a zocher and a keva. By oifos we don't distinguish. Does mean that there's no male and female in birds. The birds and the bees know the difference between a male and a female also, not just the human beings and the animals. But when you bring a chatasoif or an oilasoif, it doesn't make a difference. The chatasoif doesn't have to be in the cave, and the oilasoif doesn't have to be a zohar. But that's what the Gemara says. Tamus v'zachar is the din of behemoth tmimo, that has to be without a mum, that only applies to behemoth. And zachrus sometimes has to be a zohar, sometimes has to be in a cave, that only applies Tabemis. Thomas Uzachas Bibemis. Vain Thomas Uzachas Boifis. By Yoifis, he can bring a korban in the Beis HaMikdash even if it's a Balmum, and even if it's not the right gender. It can be a Zohar or an Akev. But the Gemara learns that from a Pasuk that a Mechusar Eiver is not accepted. If you have a knife that's mechuser eiver, you cannot be makriv it on the mizbeach. So that din even applies to bnei noach. Even though bnei noach are permitted to be makriv l'shamayim on their own bama in the Beis Hamikdash, we don't permit them to bring bali moment. That's a pasuk mefurish. Yad benechel sakrim v'seil l'Hashem. But if the noach wants to be makriv a korban l'shamayim on his own bama chutz l'migdash, he's permitted to be makriv bali moment, but he's not permitted to be makriv mechuser eiver. The Gemara says mechuser eiver is not a din of mum. It's not that by behema you have even a doctor's din of mum, and by yofes has to be a very obvious mum in order to be labeled as a mum. No, it's not a din of mum. We have a din that if you magdish a korban, then it becomes a bal mum kavua, so it has pigyon, and it's when you put it, you can shef the chutz lebeis amigdash. So the Gemara has a din that there's no pigyon loyfes, ain't pigyon loyfes. Why not? Because there's no din of bal mum boyfes. There's no din of balmum, a plain mum, but if it's a mechuser eiver, then there is a din of balmum. So the Tosis raises the question of Maseches Me'ilah, why shouldn't you say that when you have a mechuser eiver by a knife that it has mum? So the answer is mechuser eiver by a knife is a different din. It's not that we finally reached the stage of a balmum. There is no din of balmum at all by a knife. It's a separate halacha. Hakuver no lefecha secha, ayitzecha, ayisafanecha. It's a different thing than it's meguna lashamayim. And that Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Hey, Tosis raises the question: what do you mean that a ben noach and nochri is not permitted to be makriv a mechuser eiver on a boma? Ben noach only has the seven mitzvahs ben noach and another three or four mitzvahs. That's all. So what mitzvah does this fall under? What do you mean the nochri is eiver and avera if he's makriv a mechuser eiver la shamayim? On his own bomb, what aver is he over? He doesn't have anything, he hasn't gone some 10 mitzvahs, that's the whole story. So Tosis gives a suggestion that maybe Hachma Maskin, and maybe what it means is the Nochri took a neder that he's going to bring a korban oilo. He's going to bring a korban, whatever. Chatos, I don't know, he needs a kapor. Whatever the Nochri took a neder, he wants to bring a korban, and then he brings this behema or knife. So if it's a mechuser eiver, so he's not yoytze his neder. He has to bring a korban all over again. That's what Tosis suggests. On the bottom of the page, they have the Gilgin Hashas by Rabbi Kiveger. So on that Tosis and Avodah Zarah Daf Hey, Rabbi Kiveger asks, but he never heard of such a thing. Ben Noach is not mechuyev to observe his neder either. If Ben Noach takes a neder, he's going to do something. He's going to bring a korban. He doesn't have to keep his neder either. So he doesn't understand the pashtus is that Moitzus Sosecha Tishmar is not also not from the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Then, unless one should say the Mishnah LaMelech on the bottom of the Rambam at the end of Hilchas Melochim, the Rambam writes all of the dinim of Bnei Noach. He writes Sodom Rishon was commanded six mitzvahs. Then after the Mabel Noach was given the head to eat meat, then was given the prohibition against eating Eved Menachai. So that's why we call it Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, because in the day before the days of Noach, there were only six mitzvahs. And after, from the times of Noach, in addition to the first six, you have eight Noach. So it's seven. Then the Rambam adds on another couple of mitzvahs, grafting trees and hybriding, breeding different animals together, also forbidden for the Bnei Noach, based on the Gemara. And then the Rambam says, in the days of Avraham Avinu, they were given an additional mitzvah, Milah, and then Yitzchak was given an additional mitzvah, Yankov Avinu was given Gid Anoshe. And Moshe Rabbeinu's father was given a couple of mitzvahs in Mitzrayim. I'm not sure exactly where the Rambam got that idea from. Maybe it's a medrash somewhere. Then in Mitzrayim, they were given a couple of more mitzvahs, Korban Pesach and so on. Then in Mara, then in Har Sinai, we'll be given all the mitzvahs, and it adds up to the sum total of Tayag mitzvahs. So the Rambam has all the dinim of Bnei Noach there, towards the end of Hilchas Melochim. So the Mishnah Melech has long arichas in this. So the Mishnah Melech quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that there were Tanoim, and they're quoted by Brises and Yerushalmi, who were of the opinion that although a Ben Noach is not obligated to observe a neder, but a Shvuah he is obligated to keep. Why should it be a difference between a neder and a Shvuah? So maybe because the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Shvuah that a Shvuah is either Shvuah Lashem or Shvuah Bashem. Either you swear to God or you swear by God. You swear to God means I'm promising the Rabbanu Shalom that I'm going to do this. So I'm going to double cross the Rabbanu Shalom. I'm cheating the Rebbe Shalom. So that's like Chira Fegiduf. Or I swear by God means that just like I swear, just like I believe that God exists, so too I'm going to take care of this matter. I'm going to bring a korban, I'm going to donate money to Tzedakah, I'm going to do something. So if the Noach is going to violate his Shvuah, then it comes out as if he's saying, as if he were making a statement that he doesn't really believe in God. So the Yerushalmi quotes Tanoim, who are of the opinion that although B'nai Noach are not mitzuvah to observe their Nedarim, but they are mechuyev to observe their Shvuahs. Maybe that's what Tosis means. Tosis doesn't explain like that. They just say that he took a neder, that Ben Noach took a neder, he's going to bring a korban, and he brings the korban of Chusar Eiver, so he's not yetzer the neder. Maybe Tosis really meant to say that he took a shvua and not took a neder.
He
wasn't yetzer, but why wasn't he yetzer? What do you mean?
He didn't do it.
What he
said he didn't do. And then maybe
he's
kind of
bearish.
He didn't do it. He didn't develop.
So what's relevant? What's an afkamina? That's Tosis' question. What's an afkamina when you say that a mechusa raver is possible for b'nei noyach? He's not mechuyev anything. You can't say he did an aver by being marked of it. There are no averes unless you say that's also an aver. He won't get schar for the mitzvah. Maybe that's what it means. Yeah, maybe that's what it means. But Tosis doesn't say that. Mm-hmm. The Gemara in Kiddushin towards the end of the first parak has a chiddush that by Bnei Yisrael or the Beis Hamikdash, even when a Bnei Noach brings a korban, we don't permit any mumen unless it's an oaf. So oaf, the only problem is mechusa reiver. So the Gemara quotes a braisa that a oaf sheyavsha gapo, if the wing of the oaf yavsha dried up, what does that correspond to is questionable, is possible la hakrova agavi hamzbeh. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he discusses this topic. The theme of his tshuva is in Hilchas Tefillin, the first chelik Igros Moshe, the first vase that he put out, chelik Arachaim. He has a shaila, can a person fulfill the mitzvah of Tefillin if he puts the shalyad on an arm that's paralyzed? So Rav Moshe says yes. He knows that it's permissible because his father had a stroke. Rav Moshe's father had a stroke before he died, and he continued to put tefillin on the left arm even though the arm was paralyzed. So Rav Moshe says he knows the din because he saw it by his father. That's what he did. So the question is, why is it so? Okay, so he's going to explain why. So he says he thinks, Rav Moshe thinks that it makes a difference whether the arm is paralyzed or the arm is gangrenous. If gangrene set in, it means that that there's no flow of blood. There's no blood circulation. So then the arm is dead. So then he thinks one cannot be yotzei tefillin. If he puts tefillin on an arm, which is mamish yovish. Yovish means that there's no blood circulation. Then it's dead. So he says it's based on the Gemara in Chorus. In the middle of Chorus, the Gemara has I think 2.5 prokim or so of details, boring details, of bali mumen. When a behem is bali mumen, the posel ha'akrova agam mizbeach. When is a kind of bali mumen that is posel to be makrov karbonis on the mizbeach? So in the middle of those, maybe for pre-med majors, it's a fascinating Gemara. Okay, like Eva Trefus, I remember I once learned to harusa with a fellow who was going to go to medical school. Now he's a doctor already many years. So he found it very fascinating. I found it very boring. Okay, so. So the Gemara there in Chorus has such a klal that if you put a tourniquet on someone's arm and there's no blood circulating, but that's only of a temporary nature, if you take off the tourniquet, so the blood will continue to circulate. So that's not considered that the arm is dead. You can't say I can't be yotzei in the mitzvah tefillin if my arm is dead because temporarily I stopped the flow of blood. But if it's a permanent cessation of the flow of blood, permanent in the sense that it's irreversible, then the Gemara says if the cessation of the flow of blood is irreversible, then it's considered that that organ is dead, then it's a mechusa reiver. Then it's considered that organ is a mechusa reiver. So there's a big machloikis among the recent Rabbanim on the left. So 150 years ago, Rabbi Yosef Engel has about this. He quotes others before him, then others after him. And Rav Moshe writes a little, others wrote about this. The Rashboa, not Gemara in Kiddushin around the Afkafei, where it says an Opsha Yopsha Gapo is possible Akrava Gabiham is Beach. So the Rashboa quotes some Rishonim and say, Dafka Of and Gapo, because an Of, only the wing of a bird. If it would be another organ, Sheyobish, it wouldn't pose a problem. Why? Because Of Yofei Falha Aretz, an Of is known because it can fly. It can flutter its wings and it can fly a little bit. Not every bird. Chickens can't fly so much, but a little bit. They can lift themselves up in the air. So, dafkin oaf, sheyov shagapo is considered a mechuser eiver. It would be a different organ in the oaf that would be yovish, it wouldn't pose a problem. So what exactly does that Rishon mean? Is he talking about paralyzed? The Rishon understood the Gemara, yov shagapa means the wing is paralyzed, and even though it's not gangrenous, and even though the blood is still circulating. So if it would be any other organ, it wouldn't bother me, but by the bird, if the wing is paralyzed, so that's also possible. Because it's not called an oaf. Al shem oaf yov eif al haaretz. Or did that Rishon, I think it's a Ravid, I think the Rashba quotes it from the Ravid. Or did the Ravid mean to say, paralyzed doesn't bother me at all. He's talking about that there's no blood circulation. And if there's no blood circulation, it only poses a problem by the wing. And any other organ, it would not pose a problem. So that's a whole pilpul in the last 150 years, they're not sure. But that's Rav Moshe's definition of death of an organ, is when there's no blood circulating. He says it based on the Gemara in the middle of Chorus. That's the Pashtus in many, many Gemaras. Pashtus at the end of the Sedra. Shafech dam ha'odam, bodam dam yishafech. It's called bloodshed. Why is it called bloodshed? Because the definition of life is whether there's blood circulating or there's not blood circulating. Many Gemaras like that. Many halachas based on that assumption. The Gemara in the end of Yuma has a comment on the pasuk by the Mabul, Kol Asher Nishmas Ruach Chaim B'Yapov Mikol Asher B'Charov Mason. The Gemara in the end of Yuma has a situation that a building collapsed and there are some people under the debris and it's on Shabbos and we're going to have to be Michal Shabbos to pull out the living people to save their lives. So what happens if we're doing malachas over here, we have a big crane using all kinds of malachas in order to get the person out, then the medic walks over to the man on the bottom and he sees that he's not breathing at all. So the Gemara says, he's not breathing, so then he's dead. You're not letting Michal Shabbos to save the body. Only if he's still breathing, then he's still alive. So then you're permitted and obligated to be Michal Shabbos in order to possibly extend his life. So the Gemara there says it based on this pasuk, that the way to determine whether a person is alive or dead is if he's breathing. If he's not breathing, then he's not alive. So some Rabbanim understood based on this Gemara that that's the definition of life and death. That if a person is breathing, then he's alive. If not breathing, he's dead. And even if he's not able to breathe independently, if he needs a machine to help him breathe, then he's considered dead. So the Pashto says that this is not correct. The whole brain dead theory, the whole Mishugas, is based on a misunderstanding of this Gemara. The Chasam Sofer has a tshuva to the Maariz Chayis, where the Maariz Chayis posed to him a question that in the Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam quotes from a Greek medical book that they have recorded true or not true, that they have recorded that a person stopped breathing for 3 days and then after 3 days he came to and he continued to breathe and he lived on. So the Maariz Chayis says, how can Chevra Kadisha bury a person when he stops breathing? Maybe he's still alive, maybe he'll come to in another 3 days. So the Chasam Sofer said, you're right, you see from the Mor Nevuchim that's not the definition of death just because the fellow's not breathing. But it's only one chance in 5 billion that this is going to happen, that a person's going to come to later on and he'll be able to breathe. So since under normal conditions, if a person isn't breathing for 15, 20 minutes, that's it, he's going to be dead. So we're not choshish for such a far-fetched possibility. The Gemara says, in the end of the first parak in Ksubis, in the end of Maseches Yuma, L'hoch v'bikuch nefoshes achar harayiv, even if there's only a slim chance of saving someone's life, you have to run and be Mechal Shabbos and consider that the possibility. So some sofer says, okay, if there's one chance in 100, one chance in 500, one chance in 1,000,000, it's not ridiculous. Echad minei elef alfi alofim. So if it's so far-fetched that people don't consider such a possibility, so then you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save such a person's life. So some sofer says, what about this drasha kalash nishmas rachai biapov? That the Gemara seems to say that it depends on breathing. So he says, yeah, either that's the probability is like that, or it's only an asmachta. He says, this is not the definition of death. You see from the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim, he says that a person is not breathing for 3 days and he can come to later on. So he says, this is not the definition. The definition has to appear somewhere else. So the somewhere else is in all the Gemaras and all the Pesukim in Tanakh, that the definition of life and death is like Rav Moshe said, if the blood is circulating. Gemara in Sanhedrin in Perek Chelek has a tradition that the Mabul did not affect Eretz Yisrael, that the waters were destroyed, Kol Asher Nishma Asura Chaim Biapov, destroyed all of life all over the world except for Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was not affected. There was no, it's before they built the wall, before the government built the wall. They didn't need a wall. The Baruch Shalom was in charge. They didn't need a wall. It didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says that they made a gzeira midirabbanon that tumas eretz ha'amin, all of Chutz La'aretz is treated like one big cemetery because of the Meisei Mabul, because there are dead bodies all over the world. In Eretz Yisrael there were no dead, there are cemeteries in Eretz Yisrael, people have died. But we don't have to be concerned that maybe there are dead bodies from the days of the Mabul all over Eretz Yisrael, because our tradition has it that the Mabul did not affect Eretz Yisrael. People in Eretz Yisrael were still alive. Where are they? We assume that everybody's a descendant of Noach. I don't know, maybe they were only behemoths there. Maybe the people didn't have seichel to go to Eretz Yisrael. I don't know. But that's what the Gemara says. The Mabul didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. The Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited 7 days before he brought the Mabul. So the Medrash has different suggestions. Why did Rabbanu Shalom wait the 7 days? This is in Pasuk Yud and Perek Zayin. So one of the suggestions in the Medrash is that the Rabbanu Shalom was sitting Shiva over his world. He wanted to observe Shiva. We usually observe Avelis after somebody dies, not when the person is about to die. So maybe because we can never tell, he may turn around, the person may turn around, that he may yet survive. But the Rebbeinu Shlomo already made the Gemar Din. It was already like a Gavrak Tilo. He knew that he was going to destroy the whole world. So maybe it's a Chiddush. Maybe one has the ability to observe Avelus for one who is already in a Pchina of a Gavrak Tilo. Kadosh Baruch Hu made up his mind that he's going to wipe out the whole world. So he's already observing Avelus. We have such a similar Din. If the Beis Din put somebody in Cheirim, so the main part of the Cheirim is a curse that's nichnas into the Ramach Ivorim. The Gemara says like that in the third parak of Maikot. The word Cheirim is oisias Ramach, that it's a curse that the Rabbanim give that the person should die. And when the person dies, not if he dies, everybody dies, when the person dies, even if he dies 20 years later, when he dies, the Mishnah says, Bezdin Sokle Mesarono. The Gemara explains, it doesn't mean you put Gala, Barim Kigala Shalochan, you don't put a whole pile of stones on top, a mountain of stone, but rather you put a big slab of stone on top of the Oret. For what purpose? On Shulchan Aruch here or there, they quote from the Mordechai to demonstrate that the person really deserved to die through Skilo. And we treat him as if he's from the Haruge Bezdin. We have Skilo Sreifa, Herigen Chenek, and Skilo is the worst form of Mrs. Bezdin. So if the Bezdin cursed someone that he should cheirem or a nidui shamta is worse. There's a machlekes in Rishonim. How many levels are there? How many levels of cheirem are there? So I think nidui is the lowest and shamta is the highest. The question is, are there three or are there two? The question had a reading mark. There are at least two levels of nidui. So even the lowest level, the nidui is a curse that the person should die. If the bezin will be mata the nidui, mata the chem, that's like a tchis hanesim. But calls man that they're not mata the nidui, we treat the person like a gavra ktila. And when the person will die, even if he dies 20 years later, unless bezin was mata the nidui, even if he dies 20 years later, we attribute the death to the curse of the bezin. And the din is in Yeriday that the relatives don't observe avelus, just like the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin. That when one is put to death by the Bezdin, the Haruge Bezdin, the family does not observe Avelis, because the Pasuk says, Babod Rishayim Rina, when a Rasha dies, the family is supposed to rejoice, even if they don't rejoice, but they don't observe Avelis. So here also, when one dies who is Menuda, so the din is Babod Rishayim Rina. So that's one din of Nidui, that the Bezdin curses the person, that he should die, and when he dies, we attribute his death to the curse. Then there's a second aspect to the nidui, to the cherem, to the shamto, that the person himself has to observe avelus over his own state of gavrak tilo. He's but he's still alive. It doesn't help. He's a gavrak tilo now. So he observes Avelis for himself. When he's going to die, we will not observe Avelis. But that's like how Ruge does it. But he observes Avelis for himself. And the Gemara goes into long discussions how many of the laws of Avelis are carried over to Nidui and how many are not carried over to Nidui. Then there's a third part to the Nidui. That's up to the discretion of the Rabbanan. That the Bezin should declare a harchok. Everyone should stay away from that person. Shouldn't deal in business with him. They shouldn't walk within his dalaramas. They shouldn't be tzarif him to a minyan. So that they can decide if they do want to introduce that. They don't want to introduce that. That's up to the discretion of the Bezin. That's the whole idea of Nidu is Bezin Makmeon Shishlam and Adin Lohi Rosh or the Migda Milsa. So that the third part, that's not really essential to the Nidu. The essential part of the Nidu is the curse that the person should die because of his aver. In Shulchan Aruch it says, for example, that the Ramah quotes in Ibn Ezra that there's a cherem hakadmonim shalola hakos es ishtoi. So I think we mentioned last week, what does it mean? A cherem shalola hakos es ishtoi, until the Gaonim introduced that cherem, it was permissible to beat up one's wife. No, it means it was always prohibited. You're not allowed to beat anybody else. You're not allowed to beat up your own wife. If you promise to honor and love and cherish her and take care of her, so then you go and you beat her up. So of course you're not allowed to hit your wife. But it means, but they never punished him by cursing him that he should drop dead. So when the Gaonim saw that there's a problem, too many people were beating up their wives, there's too much abuse. So they put in acherem. Acherem means a curse, that whoever beats up his wife should drop dead. The same thing, the acherem, Rabbi Gershom made acherem, that you're not allowed to give a get bal korcha. So that's also a question. The tshuva, and the Ran and the Tshuva writes that he thinks that that's an Yisad Daraisa to give a get bal korcha. You propose to the girl lovey-dovey and you said you're going to take care of her for the rest of her life, the rest of your life. And then later on you give her a get bal korcha and you go, you run off with your secretary. So what kind of love is that you're showing to your wife? So the Ran and the Tshuva holds that to give a get bal korcha is an Yisad Daraisa. Except an Yisad Daraisa, and when a person eats kaza, so you don't curse him that he should drop dead. So here the Rabbeinu Gershom felt that this deserves such a curse. He made a cherem. Whoever divorces his wife al korchai should be in cherem. But it doesn't mean that it was always mutter. We usually assume that the Gershom al korchai is only an isa de rabbanon. But the Ran is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. The Ran's opinion is that he thinks that it's an isa de rais.
Referring to the Ran again, it's still chal.
Yeah, the pashtus is a get is chal. It's just that it's an isa. How do we know? That's a good question. How do you know that a get is good bal korcha? A get is the hakinyan shtar, and usually when it comes to a shai nidas are both parties involved. By shtar kiddushin and by shtar to be koyin a karka, b'matona, b'mecher, shtar is chayvis, I want to obligate myself to give money to someone. So how come? How do you know? How did the Tanoim know that a get is good bal korcha? So the Achrayim point out that it's understood from the pasuk in Chumash. It says by Oynes and by Moitzi Shemrai, Lo Yuchel Shalcha Kol Yoma. He's not allowed to divorce her. So what does it mean they're not allowed to divorce her? The wife has to suffer with this crazy husband forever? Neither of them. They can't stand each other. So they're not allowed to get divorced. No, he can't divorce her against her wishes. If she agrees, she wants to get rid of him. If it's mutual, if it's upon mutual consent, so then he may divorce her. So it means he's not allowed to divorce her Bal Korcha. Anyone else does have the ability to divorce his wife Bal Korcha. Except for these two people, the Oynes and the Moitzi Shama, they're not allowed to divorce their wives Bal Korcha. The Gemara in the beginning of Psachim comments on the Loshon of the Pasuk when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Noach to take 7 pairs of kosher animals and Shnaim, one pair of each of the non-kosher animals. So the Torah says, Habehim Asher Einena Tahora. Should have said, Habehim HaTmeo. What is Habehim Asher Einena Tahora? Such a long Nusach. So the Gemara says, a person should be careful to speak Loshon Nekiyah. You should go out of your way to speak Lashon Nekiyah, even if it's a little bit cumbersome. Even if it would have been easier to say Abhei Matmeh. I said the Gemara, yes, but later in Chumash Vayikra, when the Torah gives the laws of Kashrus, it doesn't beat around the bush. It says Abhei Matmeh. It doesn't say Abhei Masher Einan HaTohir. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's another din. That Li'olam Yilavan Adam L'Talmidoi V'Lashon Ketzara. When you're teaching Torah, if you're going to make a very long sentence with long formulations, so then it won't be understood as well. If you say the kitzur, you say everything in one word, then it'll be understood much better. So the Gemara says, when the Torah is giving the halachas, it says, ha'pei matmeya, a treif animal, a treif. And here we're not talking about halachas. We're just the Baruch Shalom tells him he should bring in one pair each of those behemah asher einenetahar. It's not a case over here malamed Torah l'talmidoi. Salbechik was always like that. He was always malamed baloshen k'tzar. He would develop a whole idea, and then in the development of the idea, he would formulate it in such a way that you can say it in one word. So this word represents that idea. But then later on, when he would continue in the shir, to develop the shir, so he would speak like telegraphic. Years ago, there used to be telegraph. They don't have any more telegraphs. I don't know. I haven't gotten a telegraph since I got married. I used to send telegraphs when people got married. So when you send the telegraphs, it costs money for every word. So people would use one word that represented a whole paragraph. So that's how Rav Soloveitchik used to speak in his shiur. He would develop a whole idea, and then he would, as he would proceed in the shiur, he would lead you on to understand that this word that he's using represents this idea. A lot of times people read the essays that he published, and he uses terminology. He uses terms that mean to him a whole paragraph, and he doesn't explain what the terms mean. So people know Hebrew, so they think they understand every word in the essay. Yeah, but they don't know that that word means a whole paragraph in his thought. There are many who are makbid, the Marshal, and the Yamshel Shleimer has this comment, that many are makbid, they don't refer to Maseches Beitzah as Maseches Beitzah, they call it Maseches Beitzah. Why? Because Beitzah has the connotation of the male reproductive organ, so that's not the Loshen Nekiyah. So they choose to call it Maseches Beitzah. The Rishonim call it Maseches Yontif. Maseches Yontif, sure, no problem. But those who call it by the first name, so many are makbid. So on the first page in the Mishnayos, they quote this from the Yamshel Shleimer of the Marshal. The Magen Avraham quotes that Yamshel Shleimer. The Magen Avraham has a Siman Kuf Nun Vav after Shabbos. He gives you a list of miscellaneous dinim that are never quoted in the Shulchan Aruch anywhere. It's a very long Magen Avraham. So this is one of his miscellaneous dinim. The Olami, a person should be medactic to speak Baloshen Nekiyah. And he quotes the Marshal, that's why we don't call it Maseches Beitzah. So there on the first page in the Mishnah's Beitzah, they quote that the Vilna Goyen always did refer to it as Beitzah, because he felt it does make a difference. What's the difference whether you call it Beitzah or Be'ah in Aramaic? The Aramaic word Be'ah has the same connotation of the male reproductive organ. So you're not accomplishing anything by switching into the Aramaic. Why call it Maseches Yontif? Okay, maybe that's more of a Loshon Nekiyah, but he didn't think that Be'ah as opposed to Beitzah was more of a Loshon Nekiyah. Rav Soloveitchik always used to call it Maseches Beitzah. He never went out of his way to call it there. The Chumash, Rashi points out from the Medrash that Noach and his family were prohibited to practice Tashma Shamito in the Teva because the whole world was Shori B'Tzar. So that's why the Pasuk says, Vayova Noach u'Bonov. Noach and his sons went in, the Ishto and the Shei Bonov, and the women went in, the men separately, the women separately. But then when the Mabul was over, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Tzei min HaTeva Tov Yishtecho, the Lashon is different there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him at the beginning of Revi, Atov Yishtecho, you with your wife, everyone is Muta B'tash V'Shamita. So the Panim Yochois has a comment on this Pasuk that Noach needed a heter, even though the whole reason for the Yisra was because the whole world was Shori B'Tzar Hoya. Now there's no world to be Shori B'Tzar. The whole story is all over. The Mabul is over, and so that we should have understood on our own that it should be Muta B'Tashma Shamita. Nonetheless, since the Ribbono Shel Olam originally prohibited Tashma, she had to give a heter. That's the principles that the Gemara has at Dovash and Minyan, Tzorach Minyan Achala Hatira. But sometimes it's taken to a little bit a silly extreme. They had a piece in a newspaper maybe 20, 30 years ago that there was a Japanese soldier in Japan who was still walking around with his uniform from the Second World War, because his commander told him, you stand over here and don't move until we give you instructions. So he was still there 50 years later, 40, 50 years later. So that's fictitious. I mean, the whole world moved on. We already had 50 other wars after that war. So that's a little bit ridiculous. The Shaila said, why is there such a din? Why is there halacha of davar shebimin yitzor min yirachal hatira? So they quote from the Vilna Goyim. It's both a din on the level of their eyes and a din on the level of their abonim. The Gemara says, Called the Tikkun Rabbanan came, the Raisa Tikkun on the level of the Raisa, there's a din Davishim Minyan Tzach Minachan Atira, and the level of the Rabbanan also. Why should it be so? So they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon that just because we know what the reason is, it could well be that there's more than one reason. So it could be, even though the one reason that we're aware of no longer applies, it could be that other reasons apply. We shouldn't jump so quickly to assume that that we know all the reasons for the prohibition. The Medrash points out that even though the Rabbanu Shalom told them, Tzeatov Yishtacha, Uvanecha, Rishay Banecha Yitoch, the Mabel is over, and now it's Mutta B'tash Mishamita, but it says that's in Pasuk Tes Zayin, then Lemaisa, he didn't do that. Vayetzu Nechu Banov, he went out with his sons, V'yishtan Rishay Banov, and his wife went out with the daughters-in-law. The husband didn't walk down the aisle with his wife. Mr. and Mrs. Noach didn't walk out together. And Mr. and Mrs. Shame and Mr. and Mrs. Chum, Mr. and Mrs. Yochas, they didn't walk down together. So the Medrash has a machleg Rabbi Ram Nechemia, did he do right or did he do wrong? So one opinion in the Tanoim is that he did wrong, he didn't listen to the Baruch Shalom. Baruch Shalom wanted, there's no more civilization, there are no people. So I want you right away to start having Piri Berivia. I want you to rebuild the whole world. And he waited. He waited a while until he started. So one opinion in the Tanoim that he was punished for this. That he did wrong and he was punished. The other opinion and this is Amidas Chasidus, he's Moisef. What's so bad about this? Adarabba, he was rewarded, he wasn't punished. So the Medrash doesn't explain well. What's the Nekudas HaMachlekes over here? Whether it's right or wrong to continue the precious. But the Medrash does point out that he didn't listen to the Rabbanu Shalom. Either right or wrong, he didn't listen. What does he do when he gets out of the Teva? So he brings karbonis. Either the Rabbanu Shalom told him explicitly you should bring 7 pairs of kosher animals in order to bring karbonis after the mabul is over, and make sure that Chaim Rasha Ivarim Shalom shouldn't be mechusar Eivor, or maybe he didn't tell him explicitly. Maybe Noach understood on his own. Vayiven Noach. That's how the Medrash understands. Vayiven Noach is loshen havana, not me loshen binyan. That he constructed a mizbech, but rather he understood on his own from the fact that the Rabbanu Shalom told him to bring 7 pairs of the kosher animals and only 1 pair of the non-kosher animals. So he understood on his own that the extra were in order to bring karbonis. So however it is, either he was instructed or he understood on his own, he brought the karbonis, and then the Rabbanu Shalom promised that he's not going to destroy the world. Rabbanu Shalom accepted the Karbanus and he said, "La'osif l'kal el'orus ha'adama, baruch ha'adam." The Rambam quotes in Hilchos Beis HaBchira that the Mokam HaMizbeach Mechuvim B'Yoser, there's a specific place where you're supposed to construct the Mizbeach. And what is that location? That's the place where Adam HaRishon brought his carbon. That's the place where Kayin and Hevel brought their karbonas. That's the same location where Noach brought the karbonas. That's the same location where the Akedah took place. And that's the Bais Rishon, the Bais Sheni. That's where the Bais HaShlishi is going to be. Everything in the same place. It's hard to understand. Horei Ararat. Horei Ararat is assumed to be in Turkey. And then he walked so many miles to Hara Maria, to the Bais HaMikdash. But that's what the Midrashim, the Rambam quotes from the Midrashim like that. That the location of the Mizbeach that Noach built, that Noach constructed, was the Makam HaMizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash. Then the Rabbanu Shalom says, "Od kol yimei hort zera v'kotze v'kor v'chon v'kaitz v'chor v'yom v'layla lo yishbos." Sounds like during the year of the Mabul, the Mishpat of the Anshe Dora Mabul was Yud Beis Chodesh. That's what the Tosefta says. The maximum people suffering Gehenim is Yud Beis Chodesh. So the Tosefta says the Mishpat of the Esa Makas in Mitzrayim took Yud Beis Chodesh. Each Makkah was approximately a month. Moshe Rabbeinu was warning for a couple of weeks in advance, and then the Makkah came for a week. So that should have been 10 months. So the Tosefta says the sum total of all the Esa Makas was Yud Beis Chodesh. That's the maximum that Rabbanu Shalom ever punishes anybody. So here also the Mishpat of the Dora Mabul was Yud Beis Chodesh. So during that period of Yud Beis Chodesh in the Pasuk, it sounds like the Yom V'Layla, the seasons were not functioning. Nothing, everything was off kilter, nothing was functioning. So the Pasuk Pshat is, the Rabbanu Shalom says, he's never going to cause this to happen again. Lo Yishbos. So everything will continue, the world will continue in its natural way forever. He's never going to cause such a catastrophe to occur again. And the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin has another level of interpretation on the pasuk. Rashi writes this from the Medrash. Michlal, the inference is Sheshavs the Kol Yimos Hamabul Shloshim Shu Hamazos from Enika Ben Yom Ben Laila. The whole sky, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything was off kilter during the period of the Mabul. That's the pasuk shot. And then the Gemara in Sanhedrin has an additional level of interpretation on the pasuk that it goes on non-Jewish people. Zera v'katzav k'avacham v'kaitz v'chorv lo yom v'layla lo yishbosu anachri sheshavas es chayiv nisa. Our observance of Shabbos is because we were created b'tzelem alakim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days and he rested on Shabbos. So we, b'toris tzelem alakim, we are reliving that. So after the chet of the mabul, the Torah says that there was such a yirida, there was such a hashchasa in the tzelem alakim of mankind, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it doesn't make sense that they should observe Shabbos anymore. They don't have enough tzelem alakim that it should be meaningful to observe Shabbos. Lo yishbos. That's a question exactly what this means. Benach Shabbos chayv misa. Doesn't mean it's chayv misa. There's no chayv misa b'day shamayim. So machlek is in the Rishonim what this means. So the Rambam says it doesn't only apply to Shabbos. Nothing different about Shabbos than the rest of the mitzvahs. The Rambam says the Bnei Noach are not permitted l'chlola shel dover, not permitted l'chadish dos me'atzma. Not allowed to make up a new religion. They have to observe their seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach, but the other five mitzvahs or so, two or three or five mitzvahs, and that's it. They have Ash Wednesday and Palm Sunday and whatever. They have a whole bunch of things. So that's Ramadan, whatever. They make up a new thing that they're not allowed to eat flesh, they're not allowed to eat milk, it's a ganzen and mitzvahs. So that's a violation. Like we have Bal Tosef, so they have Bal Tosef. So the Rambam says, Lo Yishbosel is not miyuchad dafke to Shabbos. They're not allowed to invent a new religion. You're going to take part, so let's say if you have a non-Jew who wants to volunteer to observe Shabbos, he wants to, like the Jews, not that he's making up his own religion. So according to the Rambam, that would be mutter. It's only prohibited, l'chadish das, to invent a new religion like they did. They made their own religion, and they observe Sabbath on Sunday, whatever, on Friday, whatever. They make up a new religion. Other Rishonim assume, not like the Rambam, that this din is a specific, unique din in Shabbos. And that's how it says in the Zohar, the Pesukim quoted from the Zohar. Why do they have to get involved in the Zohar? Because there was a whole famous machlokes. There was a ger who converted in Yerushalayim, and he did the bris milah, but he didn't go to the mikveh yet. The Gemara says this krapa seder lachatchila, at least should be first you do milah, then you do tefillah. So you can't do tefillah right after the milah. He has an open wound, so you have to wait till the milah is nisrape, till it heals, and then he goes to the mikveh. So it was a ger shemal v'loy tavol, and he came to shul Shabbos afternoon, and he mentioned that he hadn't done malacha all day. So the rabbi was on vacation, so the assistant rabbi in shul in Yerushalayim was Rabbi Shalemel. Who was the rabbi? Who was the rabbi at that time? Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, I think. Rabbi Shmuel Salant. Rabbi Shmuel Salant was the rabbi at that time. So I think he was traveling in Europe. He wasn't around. He was traveling in Europe at the time. So Rabbi Shalemel told them that he has to be Mechal Shabbos now, that he's not allowed to observe Shabbos. So it was a big. So he made him sign his name, made him write on a piece of paper his name to be Mechal Shabbos. So there's a big literature on this, whether it was right or wrong. So the Binyan Zion has a tshuva, and Avnei Nezer and many others have tshuvas. In the Midbar, there was a period of time where the Jewish people had Milo, L'shem Geris, and they didn't have Tefillah yet. The Gemara says that the Milo was before Pesach Mitzrayim, before Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the Tefillah was before Ma'amid HaSinai. So there were 7 weeks where all the Jewish men were Molva Leitova, and they observed Shabbos, because the Pasuk says that the Mon came down, and Moshe Rabbeinu told them the laws of Shabbos. Shabbos was given in Morah, before Ma'amid HaSinai. So you see that a Gershon Molva Leitova is permitted to observe Shabbos. Others say that was a Hirosho, that was the first time in the history of the world, but later the Duras, when all the dinim of Geris were given, and now we know that you need Milo with Tvilo, so the before with only Milo, without Tvilo, the person is not Jewish, he's not permitted to observe Shabbos. So that was the big machlek, it should be learned out from the days in the Midbar, should be assumed that was Hirosho, doesn't apply. So in the middle of this discussion, the Binyan Zion and others quote from the Zohar, that it says in the Zohar that this is a specific din that has to do with Shabbos, not like the Rambam. It's a specific din in Hilchas Shabbos, and the moshel given by the Zohar is that the maid in the king's palace has the keys to all the rooms, So she has to go clean up. She has to clean up the toilet. She has to clean up the bedroom. She has to clean up the dining room. But she's not supposed to come into the bedroom when the king and the queen are there together in bed. She doesn't open up the door and come in the middle of the night. She has to have brains. She's going to come then. They're going to behead her. They're going to chop off her head. So if a Nochri decides to come to barge in on Shabbos, when the Jewish people are having Shabbos is a day on which there's a private rendezvous between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. So that's like the king and the queen together in the bedroom where they need a little privacy. So if the Nochri barges in the middle, then he's Chayiv Misa. So the Zohar is presenting it as if Shabbos is something special, not the way the Rambam says. It's the same by any other mitzvah, not about to be Mechadish Das Me'az. So that's Taka question. When a Nochri is preparing to convert, so he has to practice all the mitzvahs. How does he practice Shabbos? If he's not allowed to observe Shabbos, how does he practice Shabbos? According to the Rambam, there's no problem. The Rambam says, not being Mechadish Das. He's observing this as an enemy mitzvah of the Jewish religion. Al Shem Ha'asid. According to the Rambam, there's no problem. But most of the Rishonim don't agree with the Rambam. They say it's a special Issam. So some Poskim write, the Binyan Sion writes this. He thinks that the Issa that Yom HaValayla Lo Yishbosu is not defined by Lamed Tes Avos Malach, is not defined by the Mishnah Berurah. It means if the Nochri is going to take off from work, it's a different definition. Even if an Nochri does malach, as he turns on the radio, he doesn't go to work on Saturday. He turns on the radio, but that's light things. As long as he doesn't do heavy malachas, so he's still over on the Yisra. That's what the Binyan Sion writes. It's a totally different Yisra. So it could be many of the Nochri, even those who are not preparing to convert, are in violation of this thing. So that's a question. How does the Ger who's practicing before he converts, how does he volunteer to observe Shabbat? So many suggest that based on the Makna and Kiddushin, he has a suggestion that the halacha as we observe it is that Hayom Halach Achar Alayla, the Shabbos begins from sundown on Friday afternoon till sundown till Tzeis HaKochavim on Matzoi Shabbos. All the Yom Tovim, Yom Kippur, everything begins Vayera Vayverka. By Bnei Noach, the Makna claims Makna is the Sefer HaKadosh by the same author as the Hafloah. So the Makna claims that by Bnei Noach it should be Halayla Halach Achar Hayom. By the Goyim, they usually assume it goes from midnight to midnight. So that's Daloi Kemat. That's not the Jewish system. That's not the non-Jewish system. So by Bnei Noach it should really be Halayla Halach Achar Hayom. So Saturday night is still part of Shabbos. So if the Nochri will do Malacha Matzoi Shabbos, but by us is Matzoi Shabbos, by him it's still Saturday, till Sunday morning, so then it comes out that he hasn't violated Yom HaValayla Lo Yishbos. That's what some suggest. But it is a topic for discussion that the Paskin can talk about. How does a Nochri Habol his Gayer practice observance of Shabbos? What happened to this din Yom HaValayla Lo Yishbos?
By wearing tzitzis, visible and arrow.
That's what some suggest. Let the Nochri wear tzitzis in a place where there's no Arabs. If he's for a Jew, since he's Mekayim a mitzvah, since Bakal Gabi the beggar. For a non-Jew, it's a masli. It's a question, is that so? For a non-Jew, it's a masli. That's how it says in the Medrash Kliyasvar. That's how in Europe, that's how they suggest it. Let the Nochri wear tzitzis. So since he's not Jewish, it's a masli. A harifas, yeah. So the pasuk describes the way Noach gets drunk. The Medrash points out that Noach starts off ish tzarik tamim hoye b'day rosim. He starts off as an ish tzarik tamim, and then the pasuk says vayochal Noach ishu adama. He starts off as a tzarik tamim, then he turns out to be an ish adama. And Moshe Rabbeinu, the Medrash says, is the reverse. He starts off as ish mitzri hitzilon and yad harayim. When he was young, the Torah describes him as an Ish Mitzri, he looked like a regular guy. And then we get to the end of the Chumash, is Ishu Elakim. So Sabach Shebarach Moshe Ishu Elakim is Bnei Yisrael. People are always moving. No one stays on the same Adrega. Either going to move down, he's going to move up. So we should try to see to it that we move up. The Pesukim say, Nasati Lachom, Malchim, Bein Hoimdim Hoela, Malachim, Ma'oimdim, Malachim stay on the same Adrega. And people are always Mahalchim. They don't stand the same madrig. So you have to try to see to it that we should be like Moshe Rabbeinu, always advancing forward as opposed to regressing. So the pasuk says that Noach planted a kerem, and he's criticized by the Medrash. He shouldn't have been oisik b'kerem tchilo. The Rabbeinu Shalom wanted them to plant the kerem, that there should be nesachim. Later on, you need grapes, and you need nesachim. One of the zayin minim shemishtapchem b'meretz Yisrael is grapes, but not to plant that first. So he made a mistake over here. One of the opinions in the Medrash is that what he did was correct. That he wanted to drink a little bit, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin Afayin points out based on the pasuk, the Nivra Yain Ela Menachem Boyasu Avelim. The Rebbeinu Shalom wanted that there should be an institution of wine, intoxicating beverages, so that people who are aggravated should have a little drink, and they should drink away their sorrows, but not to get drunk like this, to take a little sip. People, it's preferable to recite Kiddush over wine as opposed to grape juice, certainly preferable, but it's an aver to get drunk. Not only is it an aver to get drunk, it's an aver to sleep too much also, even if a person is not drunk, even if a person drinks milk. He doesn't drink coffee, doesn't have any other vices. The pasuk says that when Yaakov Avinu was sleeping, the malachim were olim b'yardim. So the Gemara says they saw Yaakov Avinu was sleeping. So the Gemara says in Gid Anashid, Big Shul Hargai. They wanted to kill him. Such a potential. This man has such a potential. And he's sleeping, he's wasting his day, watching television, reading the novels, wasting time doing crossword puzzles. Big Shul Hargai then says, Vini Hashem needs Avalov Lishamrai. The Rebbeinu Shalom is on top of Yaakov Avinu. He doesn't let the Malachim kill him. It's an Avera for a person who has talents to waste his talents, whether by going on drugs, or by sleeping, or by watching television all day long, or by getting drunk. These are all ways of wasting your life away. A person has to be productive. Mahu afato. They have a mitzvah of Allah for the drop. The Baruch doesn't sit and twiddle his thumbs. He doesn't watch television. He's creative. He's always doing something creative. So we created B'Tzelem Elkim, so we're supposed to use all of our potentials also. So that's the complaint against Noach. His initial instinctive kavana was good. The whole world was wiped out, so he wants to drink a little bit to drink away his aggravation. But drink a little bit is not the same as getting drunk in Vayizgal B'socha Holai. That's ridiculous. Everything has to be done with the proper degree. There was one of the Achrayim, was always playing cards, and he was always getting drunk. So he wrote a whole sefer that you're not allowed to play cards, you're not allowed to get drunk. It didn't help him, but apparently other people read his sefer, so they took it to heart. He knew from experience that's not the right thing to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a bris with Noach, and he says, "Eskashti nasate be'onon." The Rebbeinu Shalom is going to... Sounds like the Rebbeinu Shalom is going to introduce a new thing into the Bria. He's going to make a rainbow. That's the Shaila the Ramban HaChumash quotes from the scientists, from the Greek scientists, that the rainbow was there from Sheshes Mebrashes. How can it be that the rainbow is an Oisa Bris? It was always there. So he says he thinks that's correct, that the rainbow was there from Sheshes Mebrashes. But the Rebbeinu Shalom said, you see that rainbow that was always around, you should take it now as the Oisa Bris. It doesn't necessarily mean in the Psukim that it was a new bria that the Rebbeinu Shalom made at this time. This is an important bria. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the rainbow should be taken as the Osa bria, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never destroy the whole world. The Gemara says whenever you see a rainbow, you should recite a special bracha. It's an important bria that the Rebbeinu Shalom made. It could be that we're living in such a generation that the whole world deserves to be destroyed, but the Rebbeinu Shalom made a deal with us. He made a bris that he's not going to wipe out the world. So that's an important bracha to keep in mind. The Mishnah Berurah raises the possibility, maybe you only say the bracha if you see the whole rainbow. Once in a while you don't see the whole keshes. You don't see a whole rainbow. Not because it's blocked by the building. Sometimes you only see half a rainbow. The Mishnah Berurah is not sure whether you say the bracha or not. The whole idea of the rainbow is, the Ramban HaChumash says, how is that an Oisa Bris? Because when an archer is shooting an arrow with a bow, bows and arrows, lagoymer, so the round part of the bow is facing the direction where the arrow is going to shoot, and the string is over here. Then you pull the string, and then it gives it force, and it shoots forward towards the direction where the arch is. So the Rabbanu Shel Olam, if he wants to shoot arrows at us, would have the bow that way, but the rainbow is this way. So that's why the rainbow represents the idea that the bow is in the other direction. Rabbanu Shel Olam is not going to shoot any arrows at us. That's what it represents. So that's when the Mishnah Berurah is not sure whether you say the bracha if you don't have a full bow. Maybe you only say the bracha when you have the full bow, so it represents this idea. The Gemara has a concept. The Gemara assumes as if the rainbow is a miraculous thing, and it'll only appear in a generation where you need it. It's not like the Ramban. Ramban says it's a natural thing from Sheshes to Mebreshes. It was always around. The Gemara doesn't seem to understand like that. The Gemara says if you live in a generation where there's even one tzaddik who's making on the door, then you don't need this bris, you don't need the haftocha, so then the rainbow will never appear. So the Gemara says when the tzaddik Rabbi Shua ben Levi died and he came to heaven, so they all announced in advance that the holy tzaddik Rabbi Shua ben Levi is coming. So when he came to heaven, so they asked him, are you Bar Levoa? Are you Rabbi Shua ben Levi? He said, yeah, that's me. So they asked him, Nirasa Hakesh is beyond Mecha, did the rainbow ever appear during your lifetime? So the truth of the matter is the rainbow never appeared, the Gemara says. Because the Rabbanu Shel Olam didn't have to show the rainbow, because in the schus of this tzaddik, the world would not be destroyed. But didn't want to be machzik tovel yatzmi. He said, yeah, that's me, I'm the holy tzaddik, I was making the whole generation. So they asked him a question, so he told a lie. He says, yes, nearest are hakeshes. So they said, oh, then you're not the big tzaddik that they told us. Ah, Baba Maisis, they told us that it's such a holy tzaddik. Apparently you're not such a tzaddik. So the Gemara says, truth of the matter is that the rainbow never appeared, but he only said it because he didn't want to be machzik tovel yatzmi. That's where the Taz quotes this Gemara in Ksubis, in the Ayin, and it's in the Medrash Rabban today said it. So the Taz quotes this in Hilchas Tainus, that let's say they want a lane by Chal, so they have to know if they have enough people who are fasting. So the Gabbai comes and asks, are you fasting? Are you fasting? Well, enough, they can give you an aliyah. So if you're fasting, they tell them yes. If it's relevant, you tell them yes. But if they have 100 people fasting and they're not giving you an aliyah, the judge guy's writing an almanac. He wants to know how many people are fasting. So if he asks you, are you fasting? So if it's Tisha B'Av, it's some Gedalia something. So of course you're fasting. But if it's, let's say, Bahab or some other tiny tzaddikim that hardly anybody fasts, and it's none of his business whether I'm fasting or not. So then even if he asks you point blank, are you fasting? It's a midas chasidus to say no. Not to be machzik tovel yatzmi. But we always do faket. We always, a person donates money for an Aron Kodesh or for Parashah. So we write, Zos Nidvas, plenty in memory of so and so, the children gave all of this money. So that says in Shulchan Aruch, yeah, they quote from the Chuvas HaRashba. Mefarsim in Moise Tzedakah, Mefarsim in Moise Mitzvah, in order to encourage other people that they should do the same. So you have to determine each time. I remember once they were making an appeal for a certain yeshiva, and I was on vacation. And they were calling out the pledges. I saw that the wealthy Balabhakta were hardly giving any money. So I called out $150 that they should see that Ashanda that they're not giving any money. So I'm on Tzoy Shabbos when I was about to make out the check. So the Rosh Yeshiva didn't want to take the $150 for me. So I said I wanted to give it anyway. Okay. So sometimes you have to announce how much you're giving to encourage other people to give. Also, sometimes if it's not relevant, so then Kadesh Olah L'Hachzik Tov L'Atzma. So you could even tell a lie.
And the Gemara says only three things that Talmud Chacham should lie about, saying that Tinus isn't included on that list.
Mm-hmm. Good question. I don't know. The same idea. Same idea. There was also the Masechta. If they ask him, do you know this Masechta? So he can tell a lie and say he doesn't know the Masechta for the sake of humility. So this is the same thing. Shekadesh Olah L'Hachzik Tov L'Atzma probably falls under the category of Masechta. Noach cursed Kenan, or Kenan, Eved Avon Yehliachov, and he gives a blessing to Yefes, to Shem and Yefes. Yafta lekim leYefes, v'yishkan bi'ohal leShem. Shem, from the three sons, Shem was the best, and Yefes was okay. So the Mishnah in Megillah, the first parak of Megillah, has a machlokes hatanaim. Is it permissible to write a Sefer Torah in translation? So the Tana, whose opinion we passed, says to write that, not to print an art scroll on paper and print it in a book. They're talking about on cloth. So the Tana, whose opinion is accepted, is that we only permit you to write Kisri HaKodesh in translation in Greek, based on this pasuk. Yafta l'kim l'yefes v'yishkan b'ohal l'shem. See, there's two ways. The Medrash has two ways to interpret. V'yishkan b'ohal l'shem, the Shechina should be shore in ohal l'shem, or Yefes should be in ohal l'shem. Who should be the Yishkan? So one opinion in the Medrash is, Rashi says, they're both pshatim from the Medrash. Yishkan be'ol Hashem, Yashu Shechin also be Yisrael. Even though Yefes is not bad, but the Shechin should only be shorer by all Hashem. The Shechin should not be shorer by Yefes. That's one interpretation. Then he says, and then the Gemara Megillah, the Mishnah Megillah has another interpretation. The Yishkan be'ol Hashem refers to Yefes, that the Yaf Yefusa Shal Yefes should be introduced into Yiddishkeit. We can borrow things from Yuma Soilim if they're nice, if they're intelligent, if they're pretty, beauty. There's a din of Hidur Mitzvah, so we have to make things in a beautiful fashion. But we can borrow the concepts of beauty from Yuma Soilim if they're acceptable. Not all the concepts of beauty are acceptable on our standards. So those that are acceptable, that's V'yishkan B'yohal Hashem. So that's the Mishnah says, that Yaf Yafusa Shal Yefes can be introduced into the Jewish religion, you can write a Sefer Torah in Yevonis. The Rambam writes there in the Pirusha Mishnayis Amaseches Megillah that we no longer have that fancy form of Greek. He claims that the Greek that they used during his time in the days of the Rambam is already a corrupt form of the original Greek, and that's no longer the Yaf Yefusa Shal Yefes. There is an opinion that's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch that Maleches Kosev on Shabbos is only violated in the Torah if you write either in Ksav Ashuris or if you write in Yevonis. If you write in another script, it doesn't count. Because when you write a Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah can only be written, either be written in Ksav Ashuris or in Ksav Yevonis. You can't write in any other alphabet. So there's a minority, should be a minority opinion in the Rishonim, that if you write on Shabbos in any script other than, let's say, if you write in Hebrew, the way we write script, so there's an opinion that that's not a malacha deraisa. A very difficult opinion. If you draw a picture, it's a malacha deraisa. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam. If you make a fingerprint, when the babies are born in the hospital, they want to make sure that they don't mix up the wrong baby with the wrong mother, so they take the mother's fingerprint and the baby's footprint. So if it's on Shabbos, so the mother should say that she's not allowed to. So the Nochrim want to push it down. So let the mother, let the Nochrim do all the pushing, but she shouldn't push her finger down. Or in Europe, the police used to, before the war, police would arbitrarily take someone in the street and make him show his fingerprints to try to test to see if he has any criminal records. So the Jews were told they're not allowed to make a fingerprint on Shabbos. That's making a picture. You're not allowed to draw a picture on Shabbos. So there's no script at all. So how can you say that writing in English is only an Issa Derabbanan? If you don't need an alphabet, bichlal, it has meaning. If you write in English, it has meaning. So Teledig Shita. The Rama quotes that opinion, that writing on Shabbos. The Mishnah Gittin talks about a get that's written in Hebrew and the Edom signed in Yevonis. So the get is written in Yevonis and the Edom signed in Hebrew. So some Rishonim say a get written in any other script other than Hebrew or Yevonis doesn't count because it says, because of Allah's Sefer Krisis and Ksav, the Halach only recognizes the Ksav of two alphabets, the Ksav Ashuris and the Ksav Yevonis. The Pashta says that it's certainly not correct. The Ramah quotes this as a Chumrah. The Ramah quotes it as a Chumrah in Hilchas Shabbos, that it says in the Gemara in Gittin on Daf Ches and Beis, a kind of Sada, the Surya of the Shabbos, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. For the Zionists hold. For the sake of Zionists, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. The laws of the Torah don't apply. So the Gemara says, Chil Shabbos HaKavaita. What? Zionism is such a big mitzvah. You mean Mechal Shabbos? That can't be. The Gemara says, no. Kos v'mola vonu afila b'Shabbos, that you write the document on Shabbos, means Ayidei Nochri. Amira l'Nochri is muter. And although normally we say Amira l'Nochri is forbidden mit the Rabbanon, so the Mokha mitzvah is Yishav Eretz Yisrael, he tirum. They permit Amira l'Nochri. So the question is, Manashtana. Why is the mitzvah of Yishav Eretz Yisrael more important than any other mitzvah? So the Rambam in Shulchan Aruch quotes the opinion of the Baluitur. He says, no, Amir l'Nachri is mutar b'makom many mitzvah. Lav dafke mitzvah is Yishav Eretz Yisrael. And then the Ramah says we don't follow that opinion. We don't permit Amir Lenachir B'Makam Shar Mitzvahs. So why is the Mutar over here? So the Ramah quotes another opinion. This is this minority, Sheba minority opinion. That what language, what script is the document going to be written in? If the Arab is going to write the Shtar Mechira, the JNF was buying up land in Eretz Yisrael from the Arabs. So they're going to write, sometimes the auction took place on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur. Sometimes the auction to sell or the sale took place on Shabbos. So they're going to get the Nochri to write the document. What language is going to write in? Arabic. So Arabic is not Yevonis and it's not Ashuris. So since the Holy Succeed is only Midirabbanon, so it's a Shvuz, the Shvuz B'makam Mitzvah. Yishevei Tzel is a Mitzvah. Succeed B'Shar L'Shem is only the Rabbanon. So Amir with the Nochri and Succeed B'Shar L'Shem is a Shvuz, the Shvuz B'makam Mitzvah. So the Ramah quotes this L'chumra, that the heter to have Amir with the Nochri B'makam Yishevei Eretz Yisrael only applies if your document is going to be filled out in a script other than Ksav Ashuris and other than Ksav Yevonis. But it's going to be a Hebrew typewriter, it's going to be in Ksav Ashuris. Then the Ramah says L'chumra that you're not allowed to have the Nochri fill out the document on Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan are very upset why the Ramah even quoted this as a Chumra. He says this is such a rejected opinion, such a binary, a minority opinion. The Ksav B'Shar L'Shoynes is only other alphabets. Aronim Midirabbanon, the Ramah should have ignored it completely. Like this, it's misleading. People are going to think that the Ramah meant that that's really the din. That's in Europe, there were religious doctors who would write on Shabbos, write prescriptions, write things on Shabbos, because it's only the Rabbanon anyway. The writing Mishal Hashanah is only the Rabbanon anyway. So Doruch HaShulchan goes wild over there. He says that it's a forgery. He says the Ramon never put it in, the printer put it in. Mishnah Berurah doesn't go so far to say it's a forgery. He says that we shouldn't accept this Ramon. He thinks that it's not accepted l'alacha. We assume that Ksav Mishal Hashanah is also only said there is on Shabbos.
Ksav Ivri is not considered.
Today, the Ksav Ivri is not considered Ksiva. Years ago, the Gemara says the old alphabet was used to write, the Aleph Beis was used to write the Sifrei Torah. And then in the days of Ezra, the Ksav was Nishtana. The Gemara says Ezra was Roy based on the Shonis and Tanakh. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin in the second parak, Ezra was really worthy that he should have been the one to give the Torah. But Moshe Rabbeinu chapped the most. Moshe Rabbeinu came earlier. So there was nothing to give. Everything was ready to give by Moshe Rabbeinu. But in order to indicate that really Roy Hayez Shitinas and Torah Yodai, the Gemara says the Ksav was Nishtana. So up until that time, up until the days of Ezra, the Sifrei Torah were written in Ksav Ivri, and that old alphabet, like the Hammurabi code, is written in that alphabet. So that was the Ksav of the Sefer Torah. But now that it's Nishtana, so the Halacha requires that it should be Dafke Ksav Ashuris. The Kadielach has to be Dafke Ksav Ashuris. That's a wild opinion. That the halacha doesn't recognize any other ksav. What about languages, spoken language? The halacha doesn't recognize any other language other than Hebrew and Greek. No. The machlokes hatanoim, where the kriyas shma nemer is b'chol loshon or not. So we pass on that it is nemer is b'chol loshon. You can be able to kriyas shma in translation. It doesn't have to be dafke in Greek. Spoken language, or let's say a neder or a shvu, you have to have levati b'sosai. The person has to pronounce it with his lips. He has to speak in a language. La ba ba ba. A guy's gonna talk like that. That's not a neder, it's not a shvut. That's not levati b'susam. You have to speak a language. Shaila is how many people have to speak the language that it should be recognized as a language. So that's a good question. Radovel Asalveshik in the first shiur that he gave on Nazir, so they have in the printed notes. So he said he's not sure how many people. But if you have a little island with only 25 people and they have their own language, so that's called a language. That's a recognized language, and a person can recite Kriya Shema in that language, and he's Yotze. No one else in the world ever heard of that language. So how significant the population has to speak the language. On the first Mishnah Nazir, printed in the back of the big Gemara's Nazir, the Vilna Shas, they have a commentary that's called Orach Misha. So the Orach Misha quotes from the Yerushalmi, Mechudish Diketin, that if a person makes a declaration, he says, when I say book, I mean soda. When I say no, I mean yes. And when I say, he makes up his own words. And then he says, I hereby do not take a neder to eat the book. So that means I took a shvuah to drink the soda. He made up his own words. This means this. And then he said, so the Yishalmi says that it's a good neder. It's a good shvuah. The guy says, it's not even a language. It's only, he doesn't speak that language either. He made up the words as he's about to say. So So that's a chiddush. What the Rav Misha quotes in Yerushalmi on the first Misha, that's a chiddush. So Rebbe Lasalavetchik apparently was assuming that, so it has to be a spoken language, but he just wasn't sure how many people have to speak the language. The Gemara says sometimes you say Batla Daideitz of Kaladim, sometimes you don't. So that's the question. How do you use the Tarsus and the Rishonim discuss it? When do you say Batla Daideitz and when not? That's a good question. The Mishnah Brura has a Chiddush based on the Gemara in the first Perek in Kiddushin. The Gemara says, a man is Mekadish, a girl under the chuppah, he says, Hariat Charufasi, and he gives the girl a ring. Instead of saying Hariat Mekudeshesli, instead of saying Hariat Ishti, Hariat Arisasi, Hariat Charufasi. So the Gemara says, it's good Mekudeshes, it's Shekain, the Eretz Yehuda, Koram Arusa Charufa. And Eretz Yehuda, that's the way they speak. So the Gemara says, but you're not living, he's living in Babel. He's not in Eretz Yehuda. He's in Galil, or he's in Ebrah Yad. He's not in Eretz Yehuda. The Chiyuhuda, Ruba the Alma. Most people don't live in Eretz Yehuda. So the Mishnah Brura has a Chiddush based on that Gemara, that you can recite Kriya Shema in French if you're living in France. You can say Kriya Shema in Russian if you live in Russia. But if you live in America, that's not the spoken language in the street. You can say Kriya Shema in English in America, but you can't say Kriya Shema in translation if that's not the spoken language in that country. So it's a big Chiddush. So there are some Rishonim who seem to learn the Gemara like that. Most of them do not understand the Gemara like that. Most of them understand the Gemara Pashut. The guy's not Neret Yehuda, he gives a ring and says, Harab Charifasi. So the Edom don't know what in the world he's talking about. The Chosin doesn't know. The Edom don't know, and the Kala doesn't know what he's talking about. So that's why it's no good. But if they all came together for Neret Yehuda, and they still speak the same language, that they all come from Russia, and they live in America, and they're all speaking Russian or Polish. So even though that's not the commonly spoken language, but if the Chosin, Kala, and the Edom all know what they're talking about, so most would assume that it would be good. Mishnah Brura, there is one of the Rishonim learns like that. If you speak a language in the country where that's not the spoken language, that's considered as if you didn't say anything. So then it should be, let's say a person in America takes a neder. You see, Hebrew is the international language. Often Hebrew is a language all over. But other languages are only accepted as language if it's in the country where it's spoken. So that's wild. Let's say a guy's going to say a neder in Yiddish in America, so it's not binding because Yiddish is not the spoken language. English is the spoken language.
And that's Spanish.
That's Washington Heights, it could be in English. English is questionable. English is a question of few years. That's the Chiddush. They say that Rabbi Huttner argued with the Chafetz Chaim. He didn't think that was acceptable. To say that Polish and Russian in America is not a spoken language. A Chiddush, that's the Dafka in that country.
The Yiddish never worked.
Yiddish?
Yeah.
It was never the official language. So Yiddish should never work anywhere, right? The pasuk says when Anshei Bavel started to build their Migdal, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow them to continue. Hava nerdo v'nov lo sham svasam v'yofetz Hashem v'yisam ki sham balal Hashem svas kol haaretz. So at that time, the Shivan Lashonis became developed. That was the beginning. When Shivan Lashon were developed. So Rabbi Frank Zalman Margolius lived at the beginning of the Reform movement. So one of the first things that they did was that they changed the Tefillah into German because the people didn't understand Hebrew. They came to Shul every Shabbat, they were davening, didn't know what they were saying. So they decided to daven in German. So many Gdolim were not happy. Rabbi Kibeger and Nachsam Sofer and many others, they were all unhappy. They gave different reasons. So some of them said reasons. If you'll daven in Hebrew, at least someday they'll have the interest in learning Hebrew. If you'll daven in German, then never try to learn Hebrew. Different suggestions they gave. You may be translating the words wrong. Some of the words in Hebrew are difficult to translate into German. Then when Rav Zalman Margolius came up with a new Einfach, he said the halacha only recognizes those shivim loshein that were present at the time of the Dor HaPlogah. The German language was developed later. It wasn't one of the original Shivan Lashonis. So therefore, it's not a language. So if you take another in Yiddish, it's not binding. Yiddish for sure didn't exist in days of Migdal Babel. So Yiddish is not a language. You say Kriyashma. That's what he said. You say Kriyashma in Yiddish or in German. You're not Yotze. It's only one of the original Shiva Lashonis. The Pashto says that that's a wild Kiddush. Pashto says that it's not so. Any language that's accepted is considered a language. We have a din that an oinen lishen mesa muta lefano is not permitted to drink wine, is not permitted to eat basar. But that's not really an aspect of avelos. During shiva, one is permitted to eat basar and permitted to have yayin. That's a hashash. The oinen has to be metapel and the kvuras on mesa. We're going to allow him to have basar and yayin. We're afraid. Shemi moshe chachar achilosa, he'll be mezalzel and the kvur. He has to concentrate. He can have tuna fish sandwich. He can eat other things. The oinen. But he shouldn't have basar v'yayin. He may be tunim shachef to the achil. He's not allowed to eat a big meal either. Ein a mesa v'yochol. The oinen is not allowed to be mesa v'yochol. Means to eat a very big meal. If the oinen is hungry, he can eat. Doesn't say brachas, not before, not after. But basar v'yayin is us. But during avelus, basar v'yayin is mutter. It's not from the laws of avelus. Other rabbi, there is an opinion in the Hagos Maimoni on the bottom of the Ramam that one is not yoytze the sudas avroa. Unless you give basar v'yayin, has to be a suda hashuvah. Other rishonim do not follow that the suggestion has to be a suda hashuvah, but they say you have to have yayin. But the Gemara said, "Lanivra yayin, ever benachem bo'es avelim." One would not be yotzei the suda savrot. That's what some rishonim say. Unless you give yayin, we have a minute during the 9 days that you don't have basar v'yayin. So that's not because of avelos. It says Shulchan Aruch has nothing to do with avelos. In the middle of shiva, you're permitted to have. The 9 days we observe like shloshim. Even in the middle of shiva, one is permitted to have basar v'yayin. By the Suda Mafsekes, it says you're not allowed to have basar v'yayin. That's in the Mishnah. That's Medina Mishnah. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes, I think, the Trumas Hadesh, and that's Kemisha Nesa Muta Lefano. Gemara has a lashon in there. The last Amid Beis in Tainus. The Rabbi Yudah Bar Eloi used to eat the Suda Mafsekes. He used to sit on the floor. He used to eat Kemisha Nesa Muta Lefano. So the Trumas Hadesh says, that's why you're also the bus of the yayin, because Misha Mesa Mutalafanam is also the bus of the yayin. So those that disagree with that also, Rav Elbala quotes that and he accepts that, and he extends the Sefer on the Rama, and he works a lot with that concept of the Chumas Adesh. So those are not happy with what Rav Elbala said. The Isa bus of the yayin, of the yayin, is not a Nihu Gavelis. It's a Hashash Emi Moshe Chacharachi Losoi, and he won't be Metapalan for Sanei. So how can that apply by the Suda Mafsekes? What are we expected to do? Go run and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. It's not the Yecholteinu now. You can't say that the Issa Basar V'Yayin is the same as during Anin. During Anin it's a special din. He has to be Metapel and Nekvur. It's going to take away from his Saskus. But anyway, there is no... So that's the question. What's the minig not to have Basar V'Yayin in the 9 days? What is that based on? One is in Avela Shiva is allowed to have. And 9 days is only like Shloshim. So how can it be that it's also the Basar V'Yayin? So the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch explained it. The only guy quotes it from the early Rishonim who developed that minute. It's based on the Gemara, the last piece of Gemara in Cheskes Habat in Rav Basra. The Gemara says at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Balabatim came to the Rabbanim with the suggestion they should prohibit Basar L'Yayin because we don't bring any Karbanos anymore. Maybe it's only right that we should eat Basar because man that we're bringing Chelev on the Mizbeach, we should drink wine because man we do Nisach HaYayin. If we give the Rabbanu Shalom and Basar V'Yayin, so then we have a right to partake of Basar V'Yayin. But if we're not bringing any Karbanah, so it's not right that we should eat Basar V'Yayin. So the Tanaim said it's a nice thought, it's an interesting idea, but it's a gzeir shein rei batzibi chalam lamed. But you don't make a gzeir that's too difficult. So the Rishonim say too difficult to abstain from Basar V'Yayin all year long. But for 9 days, it's not so difficult to abstain from Basar V'Yayin. So the minig developed to abstain from Basar V'Yayin during the 9 days. As a zecher, that's not a nihil gavelus. That's a zecher lemigdash, a zecher lechurban. But it's not really a nihil gavelus, because even in avelus proper, we don't have an isa basar v'yayin. And that's the teret to the kasha that the Mefarshim asked. It says in Shulchan Aruch that a kotten who's a gil achinuch shouldn't have basar v'yayin during the 9 days. So they ask a kasha why, but in Hilchas Avelus, there's a machlek yisak ha'inim, whether there's chinach an avelus or not. And we pass him there's no chinach an avelus. Mamish until bar mitzvah, even if a relative dies the week before bar mitzvah, So the children who are not yet bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, do not observe any avera. It says in Shulchan Aruch, let's say the father died, so the son can go to cheder and learn. Probably not going to be in the mood to learn. His father died. But let's say a married sister died. The sister married a long time ago, he hardly ever sees that sister, doesn't have any feelings for the sister. And the kid is 11 years old, and he doesn't know what it means that his sister died, doesn't he? So it says in Shulchan Aruch, so let him go to cheder, let him learn. There's no nihug avelus, there's no chinuch an avelus. So that's what they asked. How come there's chinuch on the bus of the yayin in the 9 days? If there's no chinuch for avelus. So the answer that the Mefarshim give is that abstaining from the bus of the yayin in the 9 days is not really a nihug of avelus. We don't have such a din during shloshim. Why should it be such a din in we don't have in Shiva, we don't have in shloshim. So why should it be such a din in the 9 days? They say that's really based on that Gemara in the end of Cheskes Sabbatim. That they wanted to make a gzeira, zechel migdash, zechel churban. That there's no more korbanos of bas of the yain. That's not really fair that we have the bas of the yain. Then at the end, after the mabul, the Rabbanu Shel Olam has to repeat again the laws of Ritzicha. There apparently was a havamina that the whole use of Ritzicha is because of Tzelem Elokim. The Tzelem Elokim was so worn down. That's why the Rebbe Shalom had to proclaim that Shabbos no longer has a Shaitas but the Umas Oilam, because they no longer have a Tzelem Elokim that would make sense that they should observe Shabbos. So the Shabbos, maybe there's no longer an Issa Ritzicha. So the Rebbe Shalom repeats again the din, that you're not allowed to kill anybody else, that there is an Issa Ritzicha. And then it says even, Achaz Dimchon Anash Yosechem Edrish, one is not permitted to commit suicide either. The Midrashim comment on the word ach and verakan al miyutim hein. So the Medrash, the Beis Yosef in the Yoridei quotes this. In the Berak HaBayis, the original Beis Yosef is a Likud, and then after the first publication, the Rabbi Yosef Kara added on a few things. So usually in the standard editions, whatever was added on later is in printed letters, in block letters. The whole Beis Yosef is in Rashi script. Whatever was added on later says Beis Hei, Berak HaBayis. He touched up his Beis Yosef, and it's in bold letters. So this in Kuf Nun Zayin, the Siman of Yehorek Layavar, so the whole Beis Yosef is in Rashi script, and this line is in bold letters. Doesn't mean that it's more important than the rest, doesn't mean that it was added later. So this is a big debate in Acharenim, whether we accept this or not. The Beis Yosef quotes this Medrash. Ach is a miyut, that sometimes one is permitted to commit suicide. One is that Yochel Kisho'ul. One might think that if a person is faced with such a situation, Shaul HaMelech was afraid that the Plishtim were going to capture him, they're going to torture him to death. So he committed suicide. He asked his assistant that he should kill him, and he didn't want to kill him, so then he killed himself. So the Medrash says that was permissible. If a person commits suicide because he's afraid that the enemy is going to torture him, so in order to spare himself the agony of the pain and so on, he permitted to commit suicide. During the war, many Jews committed suicide because they were afraid that the Nazis would torture them to death. So that's a question, whether we should paskin like this Medrash or not. There is a Yerushalmi in Masechah Shabbos where they talk about a person is lost in the forest, lost in the desert, and he doesn't know which day is Shabbos. So he's allowed to do malacha every day in order to save his life. Is he only allowed to do enough malacha to keep himself alive? Or is he allowed to do malacha in order to get out of this forest? If he's just going to allow him to do malacha for the pikuach nefesh, he'll stay in the forest forever, he'll stay in the desert forever. So we say that that's called pikuach nefesh. He's going to stay in the desert or in the forest forever. It's called pikuach nefesh to try to see to it that he gets out of there. So Yerushalmi raises a question. If a woman is married and her husband is missing, so life is miserable for her. She has no husband, she's not going to live with anybody else. So she's in such a state of misery, maybe I should consider that pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh, not only you're allowed to violate an avera, not only in order to save your life, mamish, from death, in order to save your life from leading an absolutely miserable style of living. So we should permit the woman to marry someone else, even though the husband may be alive. Yerushalmi says, yeah, if not for the fact that Gili Arayis, and Eishes Ish is Gili Arayis, not for the fact that Gili Arayis is Yehorek Val Yavar, we would have permitted it. So Yerushalmi has a Chiddush. Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes this in Heter Agunis. He starts off with this Yerushalmi. So he quotes this Yerushalmi that is in the beginning of Shabbos, I think, in the first parent. that leading an absolutely miserable life is considered also pikuach nefesh. So that's what some explain over here. The Minchas Chinuch has a chiddush on Aseres Adibros on Parshas Yisroi. He says that killing someone else is murder. That's lois irtzach. So that yichayv misa for. And if I shoot someone else and I make a hezek devasachas, then you say kom le'bidirav minei. And even if I'm not getting the death penalty for killing the other person, that's called tana de bechizkia. You say kom le'bidirav minei, even chayv misa shogigim. What happens if I commit suicide and simultaneously with committing suicide I make a hezek on someone else's property? So the Minchas Chinuch says, Achaz dimcha nashir sechem edresh. Edresh means that he deserves misa b'dei shamayim. But killing someone else is misa bezdin. Committing suicide is not misa bezdin. It's only misa b'dei shamayim. So he says that we paska misa b'dei shamayim doesn't pater. It doesn't make kom le'bidirabunim. So he says that killing oneself is not the same as loisirutzuch. If he commits suicide, that's a lesser aveira. It's an aveira. It's a lesser avera for which there is no misa bezdin. It's only a misa b'dei shamayim. So he says it wouldn't make kom le'bidirabunim. There are some who disagree, some achrenim disagree with the Minchas Chinuch, but that's what he says. If you say like that, so that's what some explain, that if a person wants to commit suicide in order to spare himself from torture in the hands of the enemy, bikoch nefesh is deicha l'yisa suicide. That's called bikoch nefesh. He's going to die earlier. But that's called bikoch nefesh because he doesn't want to suffer. The Nazis are going to take him alive. They're going to torture him to death. So he wants to spare himself from the torture. That's called bikoch nefesh, according to that Yerushalmi. So even though pikuach nefesh is not doicha ritzicha, but the Minchas Chinuch says that killing yourself is not ritzicha, it's a lesser aver. So it's a lesser aver, so pikuach nefesh is doicha, you're permitted to do suicide because of pikuach nefesh. Sounds humorous, but that's the hezber, and this is a medrash. Ach, yochel kishol tamlan ach. So that's a big machlekes in the latest form. Whether we should follow, a lot of midrashim have that. Tanchuma and the rabbi, many, many midrashim have that drasha ach. And the Beis Yosef quotes it in the Berak Abayi. So that's the machlokes, the later poskim. Should we accept that lahalacha or not? And the Medrash has a kama miyat kol chayed rishenu. So the Rambam quotes this Medrash in Hilchos Ritzicha that if I get a wild animal to kill someone else, I'm chayed misa b'dei shamayim because of gram ritzicha. Miyat kol chayed rishenu. Miyat ha'odom means if I send someone else. Even though ain shaliach ledvar avera, and I don't get the death penalty if I hire someone else to kill my favorite enemy, so I don't get the death penalty. He gets the death penalty, but there is misa b'dei shamayim ed rishenu miyad yishof. It means if I send someone else to kill someone, just like if I send a chaya miyad kol chaya is gram ritzicha. So if I send a shaliach to kill someone else, is also gram ritzicha. Rabban Chumash. On this pasuk at the end of the Nach quotes the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, who claims that the pasuk in Chumash and Parshas Mishpatim that says that a shor shaharakas adam gets skila shara niskal. So the Rambam says the behemoth doesn't have enough seichel to understand that it's not allowed to kill a person. That's really a punishment to the bala shor. It's not a punishment to the shor. So the Ramban says that's an interesting idea. That sounds like it fits in with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. And Dalar so that a shor hefker shahar gesodim is not chayiv misa. We paskin that shor hefker shor hamidba shahar gesodim is chayiv misa. So he says, you see from the way we paskin halacha that it's a punishment to the shor, it's not a punishment to the bala shor. And even though the behemoths are not mitzuvah on the other 612 mitzvahs, because they don't have a behemoth that doesn't have enough seichel, but this much seichel they have, the behemoth has enough seichel to understand that it's not allowed to kill a human being. So if the behemoth kills a person, the behemoth is chayiv misa. The Yad Kol Chayad Rishenu, the Ramban says, is a punishment to the behemoth. It's not a punishment to the bala behemoth. He quotes the Gemara in the Bukhim and he disagrees. The Gemara Sanhedrin has the pasuk Shafech Dam Ha'odom Ba'odom. The Pashup Shad is Shafech Dam Ha'odom Kama Ba'odom Dam Yishofel Ha'idei Bezin. He gets misa bezin. Not only had Rishenu misa b'dei shamayim. Suicide is misa b'dei shamayim, but murder is misa bezin. But adam dama yishavach, ha'idei edim, ha'idei bezin, he gets the death penalty. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. Shafech dam ha'adam ba'adam kama. The pasuk pshat is that there's a kama after shafech dam ha'adam kama, ba'adam ha'idei edim u'bezin dama yishavach. So the Gemara has an additional interpretation. Shafech dam ha'adam ba'adam. If you kill a fetus, if a nochri kills an uber. Dama Yishofech, you deserve the death penalty. So the Gemara says, "Benoach neragal hurbin." If a nochri performs an abortion, so he gets the death penalty. By Yisrael, we have a pasuk that says that you don't get the death penalty, because in Parashat Mishpatim it talks about Demei Velodes. So it says you have to pay Demei Velodes. If the woman dies, then it's Kamalei V'dirat V'nei. You don't pay Demei Velodes. But if the woman does not die, then you pay Demei Velodes. But the baby died. Once you say the baby died, so Yechayv Nisa, so it's Kamalei V'dirat V'nei V'nei. So you see from the pasuk in the Demei Velodes that there's no death penalty for killing an Uber. The minute the baby is born, then the Mishnah says, Tinik ben yamechot ha-harga neragala. Once the baby is born, then you chayv nisa if you kill him. Unless it's a question whether the baby was kol l'chadosha v'anat, so then you have to wait shloshim yom. But if it's biyadush, kol l'chadosha, you know for sure that it's a full-term pregnancy, then the Mishnah says, Anita, Tinik ben yomo. The Tinik is just born. He's only less than a day old. He already chayv nisa. So this is the big question. What's the getter of the Isser of abortion? So some Achrayim hold this, they chemic quotes the three opinions. Some hold that abortion is mutter. By Bnei Noach it's an Isser that Yechayv Nisa, and by Jews it's Heter Gomer. That's against all the Gemaras. Some hold that it's an Isser de Rabbanon, it's also against all the Gemaras. And some hold that it's an Isser de Reis. That's what it says in the Gemara. Of course it's an Isser de Reis. If Bnei Noach is Chayv Nisa, how can it be that for us it's mutter? So obviously it's an Isser de Reis. Funny. If Yaakov Emden loses over here, he says it's mutter. He says there's no Isser abortion. How can it be? He says if it's going to be a mamzer, if you know it's going to be a mamzer, then it's mutter to kill. Why? You're allowed to kill mamzer. Why? So the accepted opinion is that performing an abortion is an Isser deraisa, but the question is, what's the nature of the Isser? Is it an Isser ritzicha, or is it an Isser of chavola? Let's say you're not allowed to cut off your nose either. So maybe since it's natural for a woman, if a person has six fingers and they have two noses, so we allow cosmetic surgery. We allow you to cut off. Not only do we allow surgery for the good health of the patient, we allow cosmetic surgery. He wants to look normal. He wants to have one nose. He wants to have five fingers. But this, what's abnormal about a woman having a baby that's perfectly normal? So many hold that the use of the form of an abortion is Nisa Chavola. So let's say it's a single girl who is having an abortion, and this will ruin her whole life. So maybe that's considered like cutting off a sixth finger. So that's why some postum hold that under such circumstances it would be mutter. And others hold the Rambam seems to hold that the Isser abortion is an Isser Ritzicha, it's not an Isser Chavola. So the only time we would permit an abortion is when the baby would be an Uber, a Reitiv, when the mother's life is in danger. When the Uber is not a Reitiv, then we wouldn't allow you to perform an abortion.
The baby wants their Odom before you came out before.
That's what the Gemara says, Shafech Dam Ha'odam Ba'odam.
Yeah. So we consider Odam?
Yeah, that's what the Gemara says. Ha'odam Ba'odam is an Uber. Odam inside the other Odam. The Gemara says, this Pasuk, Al Derech Hadrash, the Pshut Lashon Mikra does mean that. But as an additional level of interpretation, the Gemara says that Ibn Noach is Neragal Uber, because that's a Ha'odam Ba'odam. But the Shad is Be Yisrael, it's Asa. But the question is, what's the Gedo Isa? Is it Ritzicha or is it Chavala? So then even the Rambam holds that it's Ritzicha, so there's a very strong tshuva in the Toras Chesed. He was a Rav in Yerushalayim, he was a Rav in Lublin. 100 years ago when he moved, that was the style. The Rabbanim would retire from the rabbinical position in Europe, they would all retire to Yerushalayim. So they had many Rabbanim. They had many Mori Hara in Yerushalayim. So he has in his collection of tshuvas, he suggests that maybe even the Rambam holds that the Isser abortion is an Isser Ritzicha, and the only time we allow an abortion is when the mother's life is in danger because the Uber is a Reitiv. Maybe that's only when the mother's ready, Yoshva L'Mashber. The Rambam is talking, the mother's in labor already, and maybe even before labor, maybe she's ready in the 9th month. It's called L'Hadosha. But if it's an earlier stage, it's before you reach the stage of Kol HaDosh. Maybe even the Rambam would agree with the other Rishonim that it's only an Isser Chavola. And then if it would be medically recommended or something like that, but then we would allow it. So this is the big shaila in our generation. What's the story with the abortion? When is it mutter? When is it? Sometimes it's mutter. Sometimes you're mechuyev to do an abortion. And a lot of times it's us. Okay. Let me mention again, this coming Sunday I have to give shiur an hour earlier because I have to leave early, so I'll have to give